And if you're a Red Sox fan, you hear our next guest's work. Every night there's a home game. He is in his, I believe, 16th season as the organist at Fenway Park, and we're thrilled to have Josh Cantor join us on Downtown. Josh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Was I right? 16th season?
Yeah, this is the 16th. So they, I guess they just kind of add up after a while, you know?
Well, it goes by quickly, especially if you're enjoying the work, and you obviously seem to do that. What drew you to this particular job?
Well, I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I was a piano student, and I was really enthusiastic about it, and I was a big baseball fan also. So it's kind of just on the surface there. It's a great match, I think. Probably around the time I was 12 or 13, I realized that I wasn't good enough at playing baseball to, you know, to have a career in baseball on that side of things. But around that same time, I sort of got attuned to live organ music at ball games and was really drawn to it even from that relatively early age. And I remember thinking as a teenager, like, man, that must just be the coolest job in the world. And then, you know, not thinking anything would ever come of that, but as you know, as the years went on, I was playing a lot of music in a lot of different settings, and it was all sort of in some way or other kind of, you know, preparing me to be ready and qualified to do that. And then the timing was just very fortuitous that there was a vacancy and a set of auditions, and I was in the right place at the right time.
And I understand it was a pretty interesting audition that they threw a lot of different styles and genres at you to play.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's been a long time now, so I don't really. I'm a little fuzzy on all those details, but I remember that it was. It was part of it was just kind of a pop quiz on like how many different genres and styles and eras of popular music I could convey at the organ. So they would just kind of. The people who are auditioning me would just sort of name some of these different styles and ask me to play, you know, representative samples of them. And that was something that, I don't know, I was pretty well versed in that, having just played in a lot of different musical groups that had done that, you know, some of those different styles of playing.
Now, your song list is absolutely fantastic. When you began the job, I'm old enough to have grown up listening to John Kiley, the legendary organist at Fenway, will always be in his debt for playing the Hallelujah Chorus after Carlton Fisk's home run in 75. But you have such an eclectic song list. Was there any guidance from the team, from ownership, or were you left to your own devices to create the wonderful type of music that you bring every night?
Well, thank you, first of all, for those kind words. I think... largely, it was left up to me to decide what to play, but I had been a long time sort of student and admirer of Kiley, who was with the Red Sox for 37 years and also did the Bruins and Celtics games for many decades. And I also studied recordings and newspaper accounts of other longtime organists at other old ballparks, and had, you know, just tried to pick up and learn about the history and what their styles had been and what their approach was. And eventually, over time, you know, so I started just kind of trying to emulate some of what I thought were the best elements of those things. And then as time went on, I kind of developed a bit of my own style. And the thing that really changed things pretty dramatically was about 7 years ago, I started soliciting requests on social media from fans at the games, so they could just, you know, just tweet me a message and say, I'd love to hear this song, or I would love to hear this song. And it also created a feedback mechanism where people could respond immediately to tell me what they liked or what they didn't like, which was something that had kind of been lacking prior to that. But that really opened my eyes in a lot of ways to, you know, to what people wanted to hear. And I think in that job, it's all about, you know, it's not necessarily about the music that I like, because I can play the music that I like on my own time. But when I'm there and people are, you know, paying good money to come to the games and have the music be part of the entertainment of that, It's an opportunity to play what other people want to hear and learn a lot of songs that I never would have otherwise known about or thought of. Because of ear training that I had had as a musician prior to that, and now from doing it so frequently and so regularly at the ball games, not to be immodest, but I've gotten pretty good at being able to, like, listen to a song once or twice and then, replicate a version of it on the organ and play it out live to the stadium.
Josh, Don Cookson here. Now, your musical outlet there at the ballpark, certainly not your only opportunity to perform. I understand you're the member of a couple of different bands.
I play with a few different bands. Several different bands, really. You know, just sort of whoever calls, whoever, if it's people I like and songs that I like, then I like to collaborate in that setting. There's some groups that I have official and regular affiliation with. There's one in particular that's called the Baseball Project, and it's a group that writes original songs that are all about baseball, and I kind of got pulled into that group because I knew a couple of the people in it, and I guess I had these, you know, baseball bona fides, and they were looking for some help in the form of a keyboard player. So that worked out nicely. That happens to be a group of people, other musicians who are all very accomplished in terms of having performed and recorded all over the world and have, you know, played on hit records and all this kind of thing. So that's been a great sort of education for me to play with such seasoned professionals.
Well, we love the Baseball Project. I told you in an online conversation, we had Scott McCoy on a couple of years ago, and glad to hear that he's doing well in his recovery from a stroke.
Yes, Scott suffered a stroke about 6 months ago. He is coming along in his recovery, and we're all pleased for that because he's just a wonderful person, one of the most wonderful people I've ever known, and much beloved in many musical circles. So we're all excited and pleased that he's, you know, on the road to recovery and just now beginning to get out and play again a little bit.
We're talking with Josh Cantor, the organist at Fenway Park, who Sean McAdam called earlier in our show the hippest organist in all of baseball. So high praise there. It's also fun to watch the reactions that you get, and I've seen a number of the posts on social media, from musicians and songwriters that either hear or hear about you playing their songs at Fenway.
That's been kind of a fun and unanticipated part of what has happened from, you know, putting myself out there on social media in recent years, is that a lot of times, maybe someone is a fan of a particular band or songwriter, and they'll request that I play the song, and I'll play the song, and then that fan will in turn, you know, notify the band via social media, or maybe it doesn't even come in the form of a request. You know, it's just a song that I've decided to play or that someone else has requested, and then, you know, there's so many people there, and if somebody, you know, picks up on it and says, oh, this is really cool, I'm just going to send a tweet to whoever, you know, some musician of renown, and then that person, you know, might see it and respond and say, hey, that's cool. I mean, sometimes they don't care. They're like, yeah, fine, whatever. other times they reply and they say, oh, that's really great. I really appreciate that. It's nice to be, I think it's sort of a unique way to express the appreciation for a song is to perform it at a baseball game as an organ instrumental.
Now, you also have a day job that people might not expect from you. You work at Harvard as a reference librarian.
I've been working in the libraries at Harvard for, about 20 years now. That was something, you know, I mentioned earlier about doing all this research into the history of ballpark organ music, and that was something that my library skills and the resources at Harvard allowed me to do that pretty thoroughly. But for the last several years, I've been working in the library at the music department, and I enjoy it very much. It's a good day job, you know, in terms of being surrounded by interesting musical materials and scholars who are coming in to look at those materials and study them, and I just help them find what they're looking for, and it's very stimulating for me.
Now, you mentioned getting requests in mid-game from fans through social media, but did you get some preparation for that? I happen to see that you did some improv work in college, and I have an improv group around here, and I'll tell you, a keyboard player is such an essential part of that, and you become very much an improviser yourself when you're doing that.
Yes, so I played piano accompaniment for 3 years in college for an improvisational theater group, and then I did it for a few years after college with a group in Boston of just some improvisers that I knew around town. I enjoyed that very much, and I would say of everything I've done musically, that was the thing that prepared me best for playing at Fenway, because it's very similar in a certain way, because you're watching action on the stage and you don't know what's going to happen next, and you have to be prepared with some sort of musical idea that kind of underscores the action, or maybe moves the action forward or supports it in some way. And our DJ at Fenway Park, TJ Conley, plays all the recorded music the last several years, and he's also the DJ for the New England Patriots. He comes from a similar background where he had done that sort of thing in a DJ capacity for improvisational theater. So we have this terrific working relationship, I think, because of that shared background. We have a really good, some really good shorthand when we're talking to each other over the headset during the game and giving each other cues and suggestions and feedback and when to go and when to stop and bouncing ideas off of each other and building ideas off of each other, off of what each of us is playing. So that chapter of my, improv experience has really informed my approach to the ball games in a big way.
Josh, do you get stumped very often by fans when they throw out requests?
Very rarely, not too often anymore. Every once in a while, someone will ask for, it's pretty rare. Maybe a couple times a year, somebody will ask for some very complicated, elaborate classical piece, and I just know, I'm not going to play it. I don't have the chops for it. I don't have much sheet music reading ability. I did as a kid, but I just haven't really stayed very sharp with that skill in terms of sight reading and being able to play on the spot. I really play much better by ear and by memory. So, I will just sort of politely decline when a request of that nature comes along. I mean, I also try to keep the interaction on social media very light and whimsical. Right. And so, I'll often tease people a little bit for their taste, for their musical selections. But I'll also, I'll tease myself for my own taste far more. So I feel like it's kind of fair game in a way. I sometimes tell people, this is the toll that you pay for having your request played, is I'm allowed to make fun of the song, but I will do my best to play the best possible version of it that I can.
Josh, you mentioned a classical request being the sort of thing that might throw you a bit of a curve. You had an opportunity to play in a venue very well suited to classical music. I understand following the 2004 championship, you actually had a performance at Boston Symphony Hall.
I did, and in fact, I played at Symphony Hall 3 times over the years, which is it's such an honor. I mean, I can't even put into words what it means to be invited to play the organ at Symphony Hall in Boston. It's an extraordinary honor. The first time was in 2004, and we had booked it a year in advance as part of an organ festival that they were having to celebrate the restoration, the lengthy restoration process of the organ that they have in there, which has, I forget the exact number, I think it's over 5,000 pipes in this pipe organ. And
wow.
They took me on a tour behind the scenes where you're jumping around from, back in the, behind the wall, looking at all the pipes and everything. It's kind of crazy, but it's a pretty intimidating instrument to play. And there were some organists on the program who were, some real world-class heavy hitters. And so I was a bit intimidated just kind of, talking to them backstage and swapping stories and all that sort of thing, but very memorable and very fun, and I learned a lot. But the thing is that it was the program was put together a year in advance, So none of us knew that just coincidentally it was going to take place 2 weeks after Red Sox won the World Series for the first time in 86 years. Of course, people, you know, will remember the incredibly dramatic fashion in which they won those playoff games and won that series. And that was my second season with the team. So I was still, you know, sort of new there. And it just was astonishing. I mean, it was a time where you could go anywhere in New England, for several weeks after that World Series, and just if people would see each other wearing Red Sox hats, and strangers would just hug and high five and cheer on the streets and that kind of thing. So when it came time for them to introduce me to come out on stage, there was this, you know, uproarious standing ovation that had nothing to do with me. It really just had to do with the team having had this sort of great historic success, but it was fun to be kind of swept up in the middle of that in the moment.
Now, you've played over 1,200 games through the years, so I assume you've played just about everything you've wanted to play along the way, but is there a song, is there one song perhaps that you're waiting for just the right moment to play?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. No, I mean, nothing that comes to mind, but the amazing part about it is that sometimes someone will request a song and you realize, you think to yourself, my gosh, I totally love that song. I can't believe that I've never played it before, or I have no recollection of having played it before. I mean, that's the thing with that many games and that many years, some of it does start to blur together and sometimes you don't remember something, but, maybe a fan who comes infrequently, someone who maybe comes once a year or once every few years will remind you. I've had people, come up to me and say, oh, I remember this game 6 years ago and you played this song and this is a perfect thing. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all, but I'm glad that you do. I'm glad you appreciate it, that you have the memory of it. It means a lot to me that I did something right in that moment. So I think, I have just learned that those kinds of wonderful moments will happen if you open yourself up to the possibility of it, and I fully expect that people will continue to send me requests, or I'll just overhear a song on the radio, or I'm just, reading an article about the music, and it conjures, a reference or a memory to a certain song, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta do that. And a lot of times it can be sort of situational in a way. It's not just the song itself, but it's the song in the particular moment. Like, I think this year, for example, on opening day, we had Ruth Pointer, the lead singer from the Pointer Sisters,
right,
came, and she sang the national anthem, and she is, I've always loved the Pointer Sisters. I've been a huge fan since I was a little kid, and right after she sang the national anthem, there was this sort of moment in the pregame ceremony where I was designated to play a song, I think while they were getting the next group of, special opening day dignitaries ready to be recognized on the field or something. And I played an old Pointer Sisters record, this song, He's So Shy, which was like one of the first 45s I had bought, when I was 7 years old or something. And I remember, roller skating to that song at the local rink and just really always liking that song. But as far as I can recall, I had never played it before. But it was an honor to sort of play it in that moment. And I didn't know whether she would even notice or not, but I got word through a mutual acquaintance that she had heard it and she appreciated it, and that was sort of very special to me. Just last week was a similar thing where the Oak Ridge Boys were in town on a tour and they came out and sang the national anthem before the game.
And I threw a little Elvira at them, right?
Yeah, I played Elvira when they were on the field shortly before they sang, and that was another one that was like just a song I loved as a kid. As far as I can remember, I had never played it before, but sometimes those songs are just burned into my brain, from that time when I was just sort of consuming popular radio music so vociferously. And I played it, and, next thing I know, I'm on the headset communicating with the people who are running sort of all the audio-video elements of the presentation in the ballpark, and somebody says, Josh, I'm down here on the field with the Oak Ridge Boys, and they just wanted me to tell you that they really loved that, and they'd love to, come up and say hello and thank you. And I was like, oh, my God, it'd be incredible. And sure enough, after they sang, they stopped by and chatted, and we took a photo, and it was, it was a cool moment for me. It was definitely something that, you know, if you had told me when I was a little kid that someday, that decades later, something like that was going to happen, I never would have believed it. But so I think there are, you know, things like that sometimes that just somehow happen when you're, you know, paying attention to the surroundings and being responsive to what's happening and to what people are asking you to hear. And a lot of that is what comes from the that training ground of having done the improvisational theater. It's just like maintaining the awareness and being able to anticipate things and then and letting, you know, cool, fun things come out of it as a result.
Well, that's one of the things you do so very well. You've always got the right song for the right time. Josh, it's been a real treat for us to talk to you this afternoon. Keep up the great work. We're big, big fans here. We hope to catch up with you again sometime down the road.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I really appreciate it.
That is Josh Cantor, the Red Sox and Fenway Park organist.